The readings today have a very legal tone to them, you probably noticed. There's the question of what to do with the guilty parties in the first reading, those who made the golden calf. And then in the Gospel, Jesus very explicitly refers to testimony. And testimony is typically given in court cases, trials. So with this in mind, that we're dealing with a legal proceedings, I'd like to, and especially since we're going to be dealing with the special role of Moses and the new Moses, who is Jesus, I'd like to just introduce a thought that came to me as I was reflecting on this. That is the role in civil life, in civic life, of the, I think it's called the public defender, although I don't know in the Philippines, I don't think it's called public defender. They're in democratic countries or countries that have a legal system that's attempting to be just, there's a role in which the government appoints a lawyer to defend people who need to be defended. I think here it's the PAO, public attorney, public attorney, P-A-O. So I think in the States it's a public defender, but in any case, it's a lawyer who is paid by the government to defend the people who are accused of crimes. It's to assure that justice is done, because it's not easy to maneuver our way through the legal system, and if you don't have a lawyer, well, you're probably not going to make it. And I've done enough work with prisoners here in Las Piñas to know that they sit in the jail for a long time, much longer than their punishment for their crime would be, because there's no one to help them through the legal process. So, and they depend on the PAO, but the PAO, I think either there's not enough of them, or they're not paid enough, or I don't know what, they're overworked. That's why rich people get out of jail fast and poor people stay in jail a long time, because the rich people hire their own lawyers and poor people defend, and they depend on the public defender. Now, the reason why I bring up this public defender or this public attorney is because a difficult case comes up when the criminal is publicly known to be guilty of something very serious, like a terrorist or a murderer or a child abuser or something that and has been caught red-handed, and it everyone knows that the person is guilty, and the government has a great incentive to throw the guilty party into jail, but then the government is also responsible to defend the accused. And that puts the public attorney or the public defender in an awkward position, because he has to take the side of somebody who everyone knows is guilty. I think of this, a movie that came out a couple of years ago with Tom Hanks. Now, what was it? yes, The Bridge of Spies. Anybody see Bridge of Spies? It's a pretty good movie. Anyway, Tom Hanks is in this role. There's a guy in the... It's set in the United States in the Cold War era, and there's a Russian spy in the United States, and he gets caught. He has, spy equipment in his apartment, and he's obviously guilty. Everybody wants him to get the death penalty, but the government has to appoint an attorney to defend this man who is hated by everybody, and they appoint. I can't remember the Tom Hanks character's name, but so Tom Hanks has to be the lawyer for the bad guy. And so everybody hates Tom Hanks too. Okay, so that's the idea, public defender. Now, this applies in some ways to Moses. If you think of the first reading today, Moses is on the mountain in communion with God, receiving the word, the commandments. It's beautiful and everything. And he's experiencing glory. And down at the bottom of the mountain, the people they have become depraved. That's God's own word for what happens. They have become depraved. They've replaced the glorious, powerful, good God with a golden idol, molten calf. So it's obvious that they're guilty. I mean, it's obvious they're guilty and they should be punished. And God, because he's a just God, has every right to inflict the death penalty on them. So why does that not happen? Well, because God appoints Moses as the public defender or the public attorney. Okay, Moses, go down to your people. They're depraved. My wrath is going to blaze up against them. So see what God does. He sends Moses and then he tells Moses to get out of the way. Go defend them, but get out of my way. It sounds like he's playing both sides of the case. Well, this is what God does in a sense. He has to accuse us, at least has to point out our crimes, but he's also merciful. So this is where Moses is put in the strange position of being on both God's side and on his people's side. He has to, and in this reading, he takes the people's side against God. It says, no, God, don't let your blazing wrath flare up against the people, because that would be bad for everybody and people will think that you're not a good God, and what would the Egyptians think about it? His argument isn't very good, but he's at least saying, don't defile your own honor by destroying your own people who you saved. So Moses takes the people's side, he defends the guilty in front of the judge. But then when he gets down to the people, and you know what happens later, well, he takes God's side and he tells the people, you've really committed a terrible crime and you have to be punished. So he's in the middle. It's important to understand that role of Moses, who's a mediator between God and the people, how he can take both God's side and the people's side. It's important to understand that role because that helps us understand what Jesus does. Now remember, God chose Moses for that exact role. God could have simply acted. He doesn't have to have a mediator. He could just do what he wants. He's God. But we know about God that he is not interested in condemning. He wants to save. Remember the gospel on Sunday. The father of the two sons. They're both guilty. They should both be kicked out of the house. In fact, they exile themselves from the house of the father. The father loves both of them. And in a certain sense, he takes the side of his sons against each other and against himself. That's the father. That's the eternal judge. He's actually on our side. He actually defends us against himself. Okay, well, this is much clearer in the case of Jesus. Okay, Moses is a mediator, but Moses, even though he is one of the people and he is a representative of God, of course he has his own flaws. He's not perfect. But Jesus is the perfect mediator, the perfect public attorney, because he's perfectly one with the Father, with the judge, and with just divine justice, but he is also perfectly one with the guilty. And this is what puts him in a very strange position. He is being accused of being guilty. He's the innocent one, but he is being charged by the guilty for violating the laws of God. It's a little bizarre, but he deliberately puts himself on the side of the guilty. In fact, we're going to see in a couple of weeks, he offers himself as a victim for the guilty. That's how far he will go to take the side of the guilty. How far the public attorney goes in order to save the guilty party from the just punishment. Now, we don't see this happening in the POW, where the attorney says, well, I'll take his place in jail, let him go. Nobody does that except God. he takes on the human condition so thoroughly that he offers himself in our place. And so what he's doing in this gospel is trying to convince the very people that he is trying to save that he has the credentials necessary to defend them. Well, they don't listen because they won't listen to him, but he won't stop talking. He won't stop testifying marshaling the testimony on his behalf. Not because he's trying to save himself, but because he's trying to save the guilty. Well, perhaps that's enough to help us reflect on what's going on in Lent. Remember, in Lent, we are the guilty ones, not Jesus. We're the guilty ones. We are the ones who are being called to repentance, conversion. We are dust, and to dust we shall return. We are the ones who have been reminded that we are the prodigal son, and we are the self-righteous older son. And what hope do we have of escaping the just punishment? Well, that the hope is in Jesus, Jesus Christ, who takes our side. It's as if the judge takes the side of the guilty party, takes our place. That's what we're in the middle of here in Lent. That's why Lent has a, even though it's a somber time of year, it's also a very beautiful time of year, because the reality of our helpless condition is put on display, but also the great solution to that problem is put on display. The great solution being Jesus, his sacrifice of himself for us, the innocent for the sake of the guilty.